Today's program has been brought to you by White Oak Pastures, a five-generation Georgia-based beef and poultry farm determined to conduct business in an honorable manner. For more information, visit whiteoakpastures.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Animal Instinct here on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, also known as the Food Healer, and I'm thrilled to have Dr. Harvey Cohen on today. A pioneer in holistic and natural nutrition for animals, Dr. Harvey is a physician with a deep love and profound interest in how to keep them healthy. For 30 years, he's educated people about optimal nutrition for animals. Dr. Harvey believes that many chronic ailments are caused by diet and nutrition. He asks animal guardians to eliminate all foods containing preservatives, dyes, or artificial ingredients from their pets' diets. Thousands of Dr. Harvey's clients have seen the amazing benefits of feeding their animals naturally. Dr. Harvey makes foods for birds, dogs, and cats, as well as supplements, even for horses. I'm honored to have him on today. His products are organic, wholesome, and some of the best on the market. Welcome, Dr. Harvey. Dr. Harvey, can you hear me?
I certainly can.
How are you today?
Well, considering that we all woke up this morning, excellent.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. I've been a huge fan of yours for over 20 years, and I'm thrilled to have you on. Thank you so much for making this happen.
No, thank you.
So I want to start talking about how you got involved with working with animals since you started with people.
Basically, I thought that the commercial food years ago, you have to remember the original foods for dogs and cats were corn and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
Those were, you know, forget that was the protein. You know, it wasn't meat-based. It wasn't even, you know, secondary or tertiary meat. It was corn and wheat.
Wow.
And I thought that was a bit strange considering cats are definitely carnivores.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs are obligate carnivores. They can eat protein and vegetables and some fruit.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought that was questionable at best.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And so when you first started working on your formulas, were you met with appreciation or hesitancy?
Well, no, I started out the easy way. Getting approval for the dog formulas were next to impossible because, you know, I was asking people to basically go out and buy their own protein and oil and vegetables and you know, mix some grains in,
mm-hmm.
about 10-12% grain. But so I started with my bird formulas, which were much easier to be accepted in the market because all my bird formulas were based upon what birds eat.
Yeah.
Birds eat fruits, vegetables, seeds, nuts, berries. So that formula, and especially for different birds, it's called beak specific. Obviously, canaries and finches need very, very small pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And where parrots can eat whole nuts and so forth. So, yeah, I thought starting with the bird line was actually easy and well accepted.
And I think that, you know, it's funny because I've known about your bird food for probably about 20 years now, and I've never seen a competitor anywhere near the quality that you have. It seems to be there's still the junk food products with all the colors and the artificial flavors that looks like children's candy, and then there's yours. And so I'm really amazed that more people haven't gone the more natural route in bird seed and bird food like you have.
I think it's a point of education that what birds eat naturally versus what you want to sell commercially to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously birds don't eat dyes and preserve. You know, I always think it's sort of a no-brainer when you're lecturing to a group that birds do not eat pellets. They do not eat, obviously, preservatives,
mm-hmm.
and dyes, you know, and coloring agents. So, I think, you know, throwing out the nonsense, it would make sense to 100% of the bird owners. But sometimes it becomes an economic point of view.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little more costly to feed nuts, fruits, berries, and vegetables and fruits than it is to buy packaged food.
True. True, but you save a fortune in vet bills, and in the long run, it's absolutely worth
it. Oh, no.
It's
for the health. Remember, when we discuss a little bit about dogs and cats, these are our companions. They're our best friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're our children. When our children grow up and go off to college and get married, they certainly are our new children.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would hope to assume that you would want the best for them.
This is true. This is absolutely true. And when you see birds in your practice that have been eating a diet that isn't up to their standards, how do you identify a malnourished bird?
Well, basically, you're really looking at their plumage, their feathers,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, their droppings, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't misunderstand. When I lecture, I'm going to get back to dogs for a moment.
Okay.
So you'll understand about birds also.
Sure.
The original formulas, 53 years ago, was corn and wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, ever knock another company. That would be, and not politically wrong, but it just would be wrong.
Yeah.
So my point is, the dogs were eating corn and wheat and weren't dying in the street. So to answer your question about dogs or birds eating commercial food or eating food that's questionable, they can live on it. It remains to be seen if they're going to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, you can look at a bird that's been on commercial food and they look healthy. But it's like people who don't eat correctly.
Right.
It's a matter of time before the shoe drops.
Mm-hmm. And it's so, and when it drops, it usually drops pretty hard, too.
Well, a lot of people think that when somebody gets sick, you know, I give them a great analogy. It's called sciatica.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gets sciatica on Tuesday, and you go for an MRI or a CAT scan, and you got a ruptured disc. Well, your symptoms started on Tuesday. It took 20 years to rupture that disc.
Yeah, seriously.
So nothing happens overnight unless, you know, you're hit by a Mack truck.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So when you're looking at a companion bird or dog or cat that's on commercial food, they can seem healthy. It remains to be seen if the diet is healthy.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, some animals do pretty well on subpar food. I've seen it.
Oh, no, absolutely.
You know, it kind of breaks my heart at the times. It's a blessing for the animal, but it's kind of like, how is this even possible, you know?
Oh, no, no. It's called adaptation. No, that's the easy part.
Mm.
But again, I think it's common sense that when it comes to commercial food, as in the dog industry, you know, there's a great word, if you look up the word denatured,
mm-hmm.
about proteins. When you heat proteins, they become denatured. No, it's real easy. I tell everybody, go to Google and look up denatured. So it doesn't mean that the meat or the chicken or the turkey or the lamb or the tripe or the fish they're using. It's just that, again, it's commercial and it's cooked at, again, kibble food is heated 300-400 degrees, canned food 180 degrees for 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It remains to be seen what's really left. So what they do, if you read a label, they add a multivitamin to
mm-hmm.
make up for what completely was destroyed by heating.
Right. And the multivitamins I don't like because a lot of times if they're not naturally made, the body doesn't even recognize them as anything and just passes them through the body. So there's not even, just because the vitamins are in the food, isn't a guarantee that the animal's actually getting the benefits of that vitamin.
True, but a multi is a multi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a minute, here's a good analogy. There too on synthetic. It's very hard to knock synthetic. You know, 30 years ago, birth defects were off the world. I couldn't even explain to you the entire world.
Wow.
Relative to birth defects. And in Germany, they noticed by feeding folic acid to rats, there were zero birth defects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, every woman for the last 25 years takes folic acid, the first trimester, is a prenatal vitamin. And there are zero birth defects because of folic acid. But my point is folic acid, it's a synthetic folic acid.
Mm-hmm.
But it mimics, or we'll call it a mirror image, of what is natural folic acid. So, you know, even though the vitamins are synthetic, it would be better if they used natural.
Mm-hmm.
But at least they're adding the vitamins because the food is commercial. It's processed.
Yeah.
You know, And we know humans don't do great on processed food. Forget about companion animals.
Yeah, it's so true. And when you're talking about a bad diet with animals, I mean, I know that they react quicker than human beings. Like, how long would you need to, if you're feeding somebody like really, really subpar food, how long would they need to be on it before you start seeing some reactions to that food?
As soon as they start to eat naturally, they would think you won the lottery.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, just imagine that the average person doesn't have a clue. Forget what the label reads. They don't have a clue what's in that bag or can.
That's true.
The quality, the integrity of what's in there. But take the opposite. If you went to a store and bought salmon, tuna, tilapia, beef, turkey, chicken, lamb, tripe, I mean, you know what you're buying.
Mm-hmm.
You know it's human consumption. It's fresh. And you're going to feed it, per se, immediately.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would make common sense, you know, if by reading a label, you don't have a clue about what's really in there.
It's true.
And then nothing can be at room temperature. You know, one of the things I make everybody laugh when I lecture is that you and I get old at room temperature. It's called oxidation. Which is a strange, I don't know, it's a strange way to look at it, but we oxidize every day. We get old, and so does our car and our house and everything on earth. So I always wonder how people could believe that in a can or a bag that could be 6 months or 8 months old, that the food isn't questionable.
Yeah.
You know, and they all have a preservative. You know, they say no preservatives added. That's a fudge factor. You know, that's a very interesting when something says no preservatives added. That means they didn't add the preservative. The food could have already come with a preservative.
Right, right.
So you got to be real careful on wording.
That's the thing, you know, even in the human industry at this point in terms of food, but especially in companion animal foods, there's a lot of really sneaky buzzwords and a lot of ways to put things. So you might read something and think it's the greatest thing in the world, and then when you actually do some research on it, like, for example, the word natural. You know, at this point, there's no...
everything is natural.
Exactly. My sneakers are natural. You know,
exactly.
It's like, it doesn't matter. It's a good false word, and so it always makes me a little bit suspicious when it's, it's an all-natural food. You know, it's ricin is natural, and that's poison. So it's kind of... It's an interesting buzzword, and I mean, I've been doing this for a long time, and it's really, really hard to find out the actual, like, what is actually in that food, and how is it actually produced, and, you know, all those kind of details that go into this kind of thing.
Right, but and then there's the second drawback, or I think everybody would do natural. It's time-consuming. Even if it takes 8 minutes, you know, it's very hard to try to explain to somebody who works 8 hours a day, and maybe commutes 2 or 3 hours, you know, to, I hate the word cook, but prepare a meal for their companion cat or dog or bird. Yet it only takes 8 minutes. That's all it takes. It's going to be, again, maybe six. You can feed it raw, or I like the word sear, rare.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who do it rare, at least they feel good about cooking it. So it kills everything, the heat.
Right.
So the people who don't want to feed raw, I tell them, sear it. And then you're going to add some vegetables and maybe 8% grain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have to add grain, but grain is a good brush for the intestines, especially at 6%, no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, and you can add a yogurt, a probiotic. I mean, the whole thing takes 8 or 10 minutes. And the biggest joke I get when I tell them is they say, Dr. Harvey, I don't cook for myself.
Yeah, I was going to say, as a New Yorker, you know, we're the worst at this. It's, you know, the New Yorkers don't cook. New Yorkers proudly tell people they don't know how to cook. So,
but this is a companion that we're responsible, you know, we're their guardians.
Exactly.
We're responsible for them.
Exactly. It's the same way I feel if you have children. You know, if you have children, cook for your kids. If you've got pets, cook for your pets. Just make sure they're getting good food. And, I mean, I always laugh because when I was selling all your bird food in different pet stores over the years, you know, you'd have someone coming in and looking for a lesser brand and be like, well, you know, have you ever tried Dr. Harvey's? And, well, what's that? And I'd show them the bag, and invariably it was always, oh, my God, that looks delicious. I'd eat that. And it was always fun because, it was, you know, the response was always, well, you can, you know. And I think that is such a foreign – even the term – Oh, no, what was it? The one, human grade. When that first came out, probably, I don't know, maybe 10, 15 years ago?
Right.
That was such a buzzword. And, oh, wow, it's human grade food. And all it did when I heard that was make me wonder, you know, what in the heck were we feeding before it was human grade food?
Right. Well, yeah, except it's about business. You know, when we're doing this interview, and again, you're kind enough to have me on, but you have to remember, corporations and big companies, it's about the bottom line.
Yeah, it is.
It's very, very difficult to use again, now we'll do birds. It's very difficult to use macadamia nuts, pine nuts, pecans, filberts. I mean, there's no end to it. I use 9 or 10 different nuts. Incredibly expensive versus other things.
Yeah.
So it becomes, sorry to say, you ready? A bottom line. It's about money.
Yeah. And it really is, and it's, you know, it's, I've always said that, you know, pets are an investment, and they're expensive, and a lot of people will think that they'll get a pet, and all they have to pay for is food and an occasional vet bill. If you're really lucky, that's the truth. Unfortunately, I have a cat who decided to eat something last week. I still don't know what it was, but, you know, 2 days in the vet, couple hundred bucks later, yeah, the cat is fine. Fortunately, he didn't have to go through surgery or anything like that. But, you know, they're like little kids. You know, accidents happen. Things happen where you may have to run to the vet, or there may be something more expensive. A lot of people think spaying and neutering is like $100, you know. And then when they go to a place, it can be up to 6 or 7, depending on how much, you know, work you're having done or pre-anesthetic blood work. So I think a big problem is a lot of people think that animals are more like a toy than they are just a living being addition to your home.
Right.
And so with that matter, you know, the better, just you got to feed everybody well. And no matter whether it's a bird, a cat, a dog, you know, you'll see it in the long run. I guarantee it. And, you know, you're here. You can back me up on that. That's for sure.
Right. Well, it's a story about pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah.
No, I think when it comes to nutrition, it's the same nutrition for humans as it is for companion animals. That, you know, if you put in good stuff, you get good stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I don't believe that preservatives and dyes and coloring agents and hormones and antibiotics is what's especially what's meant to be.
I agree with you. Dr. Harvey, we have to take a quick break, but I am speaking to Dr. Harvey of Dr. Harvey's. We'll be back in just 1 minute, so hang on.
Today's break song is called Frog and Toad by Archipelago, and you are listening to Animal Instinct on heritageradionetwork.org.
White Oak Pastures is the only farm in the United States that has its own USDA-inspected red meat abattoir or slaughterhouse and its own USDA-inspected poultry abattoir or slaughterhouse. We partner with Whole Foods to deliver our high-quality meat and poultry from Miami, Florida, all the way to Princeton, New Jersey. One family, one farm, 5 generations, 145 years. Full circle return to sustainable land stewardship and humane animal stockmanship. For more information, please visit our website, whiteoakpastures.com.
And we're back. I'm talking to Dr. Harvey of Dr. Harvey's amazing, amazing animal foods and supplements. And we talked about birds earlier. Dr. Harvey, I'd like to focus more on dogs and cats now, if that's okay with you.
Yes.
So let's talk about your dog food. I have a question for you, actually. What do you think of very high protein levels in foods these days? There seems to be a trend of, like, no carb, high protein.
Everything should be, you know, it's so interesting when it's one-on-one. It's you and I and your audience. It's very important that it should be based upon the weight and age of a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That animals over 7 basically need somewhat less protein. It puts in
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to under 70, it reaches a point where it just is a point of sales. You know, high protein, it should be a normal protein, mm-hmm. whatever normal is. You want to go for 27%, 34%, you know, within reason.
Okay.
But you can't just keep increasing the protein relative to the, especially the kidneys have to form ammonia and urea
mm-hmm.
from the protein. So high protein is another questionable. It should be reasonable. And most important, it should be based upon the weight and age of the dog.
Makes sense to me. Do you have to worry about, like, animal size and breed for this as well?
No, it's interesting. I guess I can make you and the audience laugh. People call and say, what about, chicken or tripe or turkey? You know, they think that it's like herbs. They think that nature and God made a chicken for a dog and a cat and chicken for a human.
Yeah, no kidding, huh?
Or herbs are worse. People say, is there an herb for a dog? And then I explained that, again, nature and God put herbs for everybody.
Yep.
There isn't an herb for a human and an herb for a dog. It's the same herb.
And it's funny because some people get freaked out by that, too.
No, an herb is an herb.
Yep.
You know. So back to the protein. There's so many proteins you can use. You got eggs as a protein. Again, turkey, chicken, lamb, tripe. Believe it or not, tofu, lentils, beans, salmon, tuna. There's no end. I think I list about 17 proteins to use. And there's no such thing as a better protein is protein.
What do you think about pork for dogs and cats?
See, the problem with pork is you got to be real careful. You got to cook it.
Okay.
So it remains to be seen, again, the word denatured.
Yep.
You know, the more you cook something, you just denature protein.
Mm-hmm. And when you're doing that, you're just killing a lot of the nutrients as well. I've seen, recently, probably a couple of years ago at the trade shows, I saw a couple people releasing pork-based foods, and it just seemed so unusual at the time, that everyone, I don't even know what happened to the company. I don't know if they're still in existence or not, but I remember there were a lot of people on the floor talking about it and were very confused about it and very, very hesitant to go there, mainly because of the amount of fat in the meat.
No, pork is pork. Again, maybe I'll make you laugh. Every day I come in into work,
mm-hmm.
there's another new dog food.
Wow.
No, every day. Another new dog food and another new cat food and... You know, and all they do is change the formula a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, chicken is chicken. I don't care if there's 1,000 companies.
Yeah.
Chicken is chicken, and turkey is turkey, and lamb is lamb,
I would love to talk to you. We spoke before the show for a little bit. I would love to talk to you about liver and what your thoughts are on it.
Well, I explain to people about liver. First I ask them, do you know what the liver does? And sometimes, I would say 50% of the people say, I'm not sure. And then I say, come on, you learned in high school what the liver does. And then they say, isn't that the filter or the garbage dump?
Mm-hmm.
And, just a point of interest, the liver is the filter and the garbage dump of every animal, fish, snakes, gerbils, hippopotamuses, people from Mars, all the toxins, you name it. Everything goes to the liver.
Wow.
So, I find it hard to believe that anybody would feed liver to a companion animal.
And it's in, oh my God, it's in almost every formula.
But, but here, it's the only organ that the toxins go to,
mm-hmm.
or the preservatives, or the dyes, or the coloring agents, or especially the herbicides, pesticides, insecticides. And again, the hormones that are used today to fatten up cattle,
yep.
and the antibiotics that are used in chickens. And so, it never made much sense to me
mm-hmm.
if you said to somebody, gee, what does the liver do? And for the people who know, they say, oh, my God, I would never feed liver. And then you ask the people who don't know, what does the liver do? And they all know.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a secret or, you ready? It's new age. Oh, well, no, that's the problem. When something is new age or it's something new or I'm not sure or how do I know he or she is right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what the liver does. Not even a question. No fudging. Well, let me think about it a little bit. I'll get back to you.
Right. No. And so over time, with the liver working so hard with all these artificial ingredients and stuff, does it affect the liver and make it ill or break it down?
Yeah. It's not only that, but again, it's like when you an animal is killed for feed in the feedlot. Dead is dead.
Right.
So the tissues and all the stuff that's there, and then you add it to the food chain, you're really eating all this garbage.
Mm.
And when we talked, it was like me explaining the word sciatica.
Mm-hmm.
It's called cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
Since nothing happens overnight. In California, a great example, they were spraying ALAR on apples.
Mm.
Really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a cause of cancer, a carcinogen.
Wow.
And their take on it, in this the whole discussion in lawsuits, was how much ALAR is on one apple. It was called parts per million.
Okay.
And they were right. There's very little ALAR on an apple, except nobody eats one apple.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was the cumulative effect. And most people understand cumulative effect. It's like with our parents and our children.
Mm-hmm.
We get to know our children over 40 years. It takes forever to know your children or your friends or a business.
It's true.
Anyhow, ALAR is not sprayed anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a no-brainer to explain to a judge that it's not how much ALAR is on one apple.
Yep.
It's how much ALAR is on 10,000 apples.
Yep.
So, yeah, most things are cumulative. Toxins are cumulative. Pesticides are cumulative. Dyes are cumulative.
Wow.
Antibiotics.
Scary stuff.
No, I think, once again, it's common sense to try to keep away from it.
Yeah.
It's not like, well, how do I know? And, you're much better off without the chemicals.
Yeah, that's the
point.
Truth. It really is. And then, I know this is your favorite question of all time, so I have to ask you this. What's your opinion on vegetarian diets for cats and dogs?
Cats, absolutely not. Cats are carnivores.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have 90% protein, 88%, 85%, 90%. Dogs, you can absolutely make a dog a vegetarian. Alicia Silverstone has been, and this is not about my company,
mm-hmm.
has been using my food for 11 years.
Wow.
All her dogs are vegans or vegetarians.
Wow.
And you ready? Every one of them is still alive and doing great.
That's fantastic.
And even though I flawed and disagreed with her, you ready? They're doing great.
It's amazing.
So, I disagree. So, again, I don't think a dog should be a vegan or vegetarian.
Mm-hmm.
But can they be? Yes.
Wow. So what is she using for the protein? Lentils?
Oh, no. Well, she uses tofu, lentils, beans.
Wow.
Okay. And she supplements.
Some
amino acids, and she also uses the finest calcium in the world called calcium citrate.
Nice.
Yeah, very important.
Well, that's
the
thing.
Best calcium in the world.
I mean, she knows what she's doing, so I think that that's a really, really important thing. She has a book on veganism for humans, which is great.
Yeah, and she also she also explains what she does for dogs.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and she's a great lady, but most important is, can you make a dog a vegan?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say, yes.
Okay. I wasn't expecting that from you, but okay. If you said, I'm standing behind you.
I don't think a dog should be a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really not the question. The question is, can you make a dog a vegan?
Yep.
Yes.
And I appreciate your honesty, too. And let me see what else. Oh, I have a question for you about bird food, actually, that a bunch of people asked me when they heard that you were coming on. They want to know, how do you transition a bird from, like, junk bird seed to eating yours? A friend of mine's been trying for quite a while, but he's being met with a lot of hesitation by his parakeet.
Well, it's a point, there's a great word also, all these big words called tenacity. It's like giving a bird sprouts or introducing fresh vegetables and fruits. You ready?
Yep.
We win eventually. Tell everybody we win. Birds don't like sprouts to begin with. They throw them around the cage. And yet, you ready? One day they eat the sprouts. And it's the same thing with vegetables. If you gave a banana or a piece of apple or a piece of fruit, mm-hmm. and they threw it on the floor or out of the cage, you ready? We win eventually. It's a point of tenacity or a stick-to-itiveness or, you know, any word that you want.
Yeah, but that can be so hard for some people, you know? Like, how long can a bird go without feeding? Like, if someone was
just
to switch.
No, this is not without feeding.
Right.
No, this is introducing. No.
So, in other words, pellets are still there.
Well, no, introducing fresh vegetables or fresh food. No, this is not letting a bird starve.
Okay.
No, that you can never, ever do. This is just introducing grapes or, you know, whatever you would like. Again, whatever you want, fresh nuts, fresh seeds, berries. But my point is you have to have a staple food to begin with.
Right.
You know, I have a staple food. I manufacture technically a staple food.
Mm-hmm.
Yet I tell everybody, please, you ready? Especially in season, you know, give the birds every vegetable and fruit you can.
And they do. Good, because it's so important, you know. It's I think the biggest problem that a lot of people have is once their animals, you know, especially if they get them in a pet store and the animals are on pellets, that they don't realize that a lot of times seeing real food, the animals don't even recognize it as food. So you've just got to keep it in there.
Except that the people know that that's what birds, forget about the pellets and corn and wheat and some multi.
Mm-hmm.
See, I have to believe your audience or my audience, who I lecture to or talk to, really realize now on birds now for a moment that birds are meant to eat nuts and fruits and seeds and vegetables. I mean, you know, basically that's what they're meant to eat.
Yeah.
They're not meant to eat pellets.
I mean,
it's ridiculous. So.
No. And it's just that the pet food industry has really trained people to believe, you know, that's dog food, that's what dogs should eat, that's bird food, that's what birds should eat. You know, we're getting so far away from our food in this country, even as a human, that just, I mean, there are people that, you know, give your dog a carrot. Well, that's crazy talk, you know, so it's right. It's a very interesting, where we are right now is really, really interesting. And I really, really appreciate people like you who are going the extra 20 miles to educate people, have the right foods, and really care about the wellness and the well-being of these animals.
But you know, back to it makes sense. You know, if you and I and the rest of the people who think like us, if it was a point of philosophy 101,
mm-hmm.
you know, I guess you could leave your audience wondering, how do I know they're right for a moment? But all you have to do is look at history or look at the world as it is. What do birds eat?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they eat.
Yeah.
I mean, not maybe. They eat carrots and they eat broccoli.
Yeah.
And they eat grapes and they eat a banana and they eat almonds and cashews and pecans. And they eat sunflower seeds and safflower seeds.
Oh, you're making me hungry.
Me too. But you see, and I think, you know what, I think it's just common sense all the time. You know, I get really confused if somebody says, oh, but I was told to feed pellets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just tell them, read the ingredients.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a huge eye-opener, and so many people don't read the ingredients on their pet food labels, and when you finally get them to do it, they're just like, holy cow! It's like, well, yeah, I mean, the information's there. You just have to whip out your glasses or take a minute and see what it actually says.
Well, it's like no preservatives added. You know, I guess if somebody would take the minute when they're buying something and think, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What it really means is it doesn't mean there's no preservatives. It means the manufacturer didn't add a preservative.
Such a
joke. It says no preservatives added.
So if you are going to look, I mean, then the secret there is if you're looking for a food with no preservatives, it needs to be no preservatives.
Right.
And it shouldn't
be. No fudge factors.
Yep.
You know, and then, again, it's buying fresh.
Yeah.
You know, I would hope that people would buy fresh fruits and vegetables and meat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it also concerns me, you know, with people that feed, like, they'll buy, like, a huge bag of food that's going to last a matter of months. It's like, you know, if that bag is open or what have you, it's going to go bad. You know, it will oxidize.
Everything.
Exactly.
Well,
so,
you know, I tell people to refrigerate oils, and they say, well, nobody ever told me that.
Mm.
And you ready? A point of chemistry. You just try to educate people so they don't end up with some disease and cancer. You ready? Oils go rancid at room temperature.
Yep.
That's how nature and God made it. Has nothing to do. This is chemistry. Has nothing to do with sales and philosophy. So, you know, I tell people, please refrigerate your oils.
Mm-hmm.
What's the big deal? You know. But you have to have somebody say, gee, please refrigerate them, because I don't know if people realize that oils go rancid at room temperature.
It's true. It's true. I mean, that's really, really unusual news for a lot of people to hear. And it's, you know, it's so funny because something even as simple as that can be like, that's crazy talk. And it's like, just try it. You know, just it all makes sense. Everything that you have said makes complete and absolute sense.
But what's the downside of refrigerating oils anyhow? You know, I believe you and I were wrong from. I mean, it's so silly. You're just advising them. Or I should be. Google should pay me. I'm their biggest. I tell the whole world, go to Google and read. Oh no, whether it's herbs or whatever it's going to be, I tell them, please read and educate yourself.
I think that's the big secret to all of this. And unfortunately, Dr. Harvey, we are out of time. But I know that we probably have some listeners that would love to find out more information about you and about your foods. So would it be possible for you to tell us your website and how we could contact you if anyone has any questions?
Sure. It's drharveys.com.
Mm-hmm.
Real easy. And the phone number is 732-291-8600.
And for anyone that has questions about herbs or the food, go to this website. There is a ton of information on it. It's fabulous. I love the foods. I love what Dr. Harvey does. Dr. Harvey, I thank you so much again. You've made my month. I am so thrilled to have had you on. And I'd love to have you on again sometime in the future. We can find something else to talk about.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll be back next week talking about the Apopo rats.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.